प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर आशीष गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री राधे कृष्ण गोपी गोपिका श्याम भक्त राधे कर गिरि गौर की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय नगर धाम की जय गौ जीवन तुलसी भक्ति देवी की जय रोहि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्याम भक्त भक्त वृंद की जय प्रभुनंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू समल बॉडी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू समल बॉडी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू समल बॉडी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु श्री ग्रंथ ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadane Namaste Krishna Prasadane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Saraswati Gauravani Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Vrishnu Bhava Kana Parts Every 26 Verse 4 Chachara
Chachara
Mrigayam
Mrigayam
Tatra
Tatra
Dripta
Dripta
Ateshu
Ateshu
Karmakaha
Karmakaha
Vihayam
Vihayam
Jayam
Jayam
Atad
Atad
Arham
Arham
Mruga
Mruga
Vyasana
Vyasana
Lalasa
Lalasa
Chachara Mrigayam Tatra
Chachara Mrigayam Tatra
Drupta Ateshu Karmakaha
Drupta Ateshu Karmakaha
Vihaya Jayam Atadarham
Vihaya Jayam Atadarham
Mruga Vyasana Lalasa
Mruga Vyasana Lalasa Translation was almost impossible for King Puranishan to give up the company of his queen even for a moment. Nonetheless, on that day, being very much inspired by the desire to hunt, he took up his bow and arrow with great pride and went to the forest, not caring for his wife. For but one form of hunting is known as woman hunting, a condition so ever satisfied with one wife. Those whose senses are very much uncontrolled, especially try to hunt for many women. King Puranishan is abandoning the company of his religiously married wife. Representative of the conditioned souls attempt to hunt for many women for sense gratification. Wherever a king goes, he's supposed to be accompanied by his queen, but when the king or conditioned soul becomes greatly overpowered by a desire for sense gratification, he does not care for religious principles. Instead, with great pride, he accepts the bow and arrow of attachment and hatred. Our consciousness is always working in two ways, right and wrong way. When one becomes too proud of his position, influenced by the mode of passion, he gives up the right path and accepts the wrong one. Kshatriya kings are sometimes advised to go to the forest to hunt ferocious animals just to learn how to kill, but such forays are never meant for sense gratification. Killing animals to eat their flesh is forbidden for human beings. Translation: at that time, King Parajana was very much influenced by demonic propensities. Because of this, his heart became very hard and merciless, and with sharp arrows he killed many innocent animals in the forest, taking no consideration. Wherefore, when a man becomes too proud of his material position, he tries to enjoy his senses in an unrestricted way, being influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. He's thus described as asura, or demonic. When people are demonic in spirits, they are never merciful towards the poor animals. Consequently, they maintain various animal slaughterhouses. This is technically called shuna or himsa, which means killing of living beings. In Kali Yuga, due to the increase of the mode of passion and ignorance, almost all men are asura or demonic. Therefore, they are very much fond of eating flesh. For this, they maintain various kinds of animal slaughterhouses. In this age of Kali, their propensity for mercy is almost nil. Consequently, there is always fighting and wars between men and nations. Men do not understand that because they unrestrictedly kill so many animals, they must also be slaughtered like animals in the wars. This is very much evident in the Western countries. In the West, slaughterhouses are maintained without restriction, and therefore, even every fifth or tenth year, there's a big war in which countless people are slaughtered, even more cruelly than animals. Sometimes during war, soldiers keep their enemies in concentration camps and kill them in a very cruel way. These are reactions brought about by unrestricted animal killing in the slaughterhouse by hunters and forests. Proud, demoniac persons do not know the law of nature or the law of God. Consequently, the unrestrictedly kill poor animals, not caring for them at all. In the Krishna consciousness movement, animal killing is completely prohibited. One is not accepted as a bona fide student in this movement unless he promises to follow the four regulated principles: no animal killing, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. This Krishna conscious movement is the only means by which the sinful activities of men in this Kali Yuga can be contracted. If a king is too attracted to eating flesh, he may, according to the directions of the real scriptures on sacrificial performances, go to the forest and kill some animals that are recommended for killing. One is not allowed to kill animals unnecessarily or without restrictions. The Vedas regulate animal killing to stop the extravagance of foolish man influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. Therefore, the question may be raised why living entity should be restricted in sense gratification. If a king to learn how to kill may go to the forest and kill animals, why should the living entity who has been given senses not be allowed unrestricted sense gratification? At the present moment, this argument is put forward even by so-called swamis and yogis who publicly say that because we have sense, we must satisfy them by sense gratification. These foolish swamis and yogis, however, do not know the injunction of the Shastras. Indeed, sometimes these rascals come out to defy the Shastra. They can publicly announce that there should be no more Shastras, no more books. Just come to me, they say, and I shall touch you, and you will become immediately spiritually advanced. Because demonic people want to be cheated, so many cheaters are present to cheat them. At the present moment in this age of Kali Yuga, the entire human society is becoming an assembly of cheaters and cheating. For this reason, the Vedic scriptures have given us the proper directions for sense gratification. Everyone is inclined in this age to eat meat and fish, drink liquor, and indulge in sex life, and according to the Vedic injunction, sex is allowed only in marriage, eating is allowed only when animals killed and offered before the goddess Kali, and intoxication is allowed only in a restricted way. In this verse, the word niyamyate indicates that all these things, namely animal intoxication and sex, should be regulated. Regulations are meant for human beings, not for animals. The traffic regulations on the street telling people to keep to the right or the left are meant for human beings, not for animals. If an animal violates such a law, he is never punished, but a human being is punished. The Vedas are not meant for animals, but for the understanding of human society. A person who indiscriminately violates the rules and regulations given by the Vedas is liable to be punished. One should therefore not enjoy his senses according to his lusty desires, but should restrict himself according to the regulated principles given in the Vedas. If a king is allowed to hunt the forest, it is not for sense gratification.
cannot simply experiment there and kill. The king, being afraid to beat rogues and thieves, kills poor animals and eats their flesh comfortably at home. He must lose his position. Because of this age, kings have such demonic propensities. Monarchy is abolished by the laws of nature in every country. People have become so degraded in this age that on the one hand they restrict polygamy, on the other hand they hunt for women in so many ways. Many business concerns, public advertised, topless girls are available in this club or that shop. Thus women have become instruments of sense and joined with modern society. The Vedas enjoin, however, that if a man has a propensity to enjoy more than one wife, as is sometimes a propensity for men in a higher social order, such as the Brahmin, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, even sometimes the Sudras, he is allowed to marry more than one wife. Marriage means taking complete charge of a woman and living peacefully without debauchery. At the present moment, however, debauchery is unrestricted. Nonetheless, society makes the law that one should not marry more than one wife. This is typical of a demonic society. It was almost impossible for King Puranishan to give up the company of his queen, even for a moment, nonetheless on that day, being very much inspired by the desire to hunt. He took up his bow and arrow with great pride, but of course not caring for his wife. At that time, King Puranishan was very much influenced by demonic propensities. I guess with this his heart became very hard and merciless. With sharp arrows, he killed many innocent animals in the forest, taking no consideration. If a king is too attractive to eating flesh, he may, according to the directions of revealed scriptures and sacrificial performances, go to the forest and kill some animals that are recommended for killing. One is not allowed to kill animals unnecessarily or without restrictions. The Vedas regulate animal killing to stop the extravagance of a foolish man influenced by the most advantage of ignorance. So, this section is about King Puranjana going to the forest to hunt animals. And it is specifically mentioned because the whole cause of this allegorical story is Narada Muni trying to stop King Prashna Barishan from doing animal sacrifices. So, therefore, he's giving the example of a king going to the forest and hunting all these animals and mercilessly killing them. And then, of course, bringing them home and maybe offering sacrifice and eating them. So there is some propensity for human beings for enjoying the material world. But that must be regulated somehow or other. So all societies in the world have some sort of regulations. And most will have a marriage ceremony of some sort, etc. So they have all sorts of rules. And they will all have rules for eating and whatever. All sorts of rules are there for every society. So it is only a matter of how many rules and what restrictions we have, which will distinguish the different types of societies. So the Varnashramic society is one type of society. Its rules are quite strict for some members. For some members, not very strict. So we see here that the Sudras don't have many rules to follow. And the Vaishyas also have minimal rules to follow. Kshatriyas have a little more rules to follow because they have to know Dharma, etc., and conduct themselves properly. Still, we find that even Kshatriyas are allowed to eat meat and drink and have many women and whatever. So we'll find that happening in some stories of Mahabharata, so many stories like that. Gambling, everything. So the four regular principles aren't really followed too closely there, even by Kshatriyas, what to speak of Vaishyas and Sudras. But when we go to the Brahmins, of course, then there's much more restrictions. Much, much more restrictions. This is the Varnashramic society, understanding that people are to have different gunas, which are quite difficult to change. They allow them certain types of sense gratification. But the more one progresses to sattva gun, then the more one has the ability to control the senses, because one has natural detachment from enjoying. So therefore, more rules are applied to Brahmins than the others. Even though the other members of society are allowed more sense gratification, that also is restrictive.
So there are rules for everything. So there are rules for what animals to eat, what not to eat, how they should be killed, etc. And which ones are suitable for sacrifice and which ones are not. So there are all sorts of rules for killing animals also. And one does not indiscriminately kill animals. We see the example in regard to the hunter who's around killing animals and watching them die. So that was completely condemned. He was, let's say, lower than a sudra. So there are rules for all these castes and varnas for carrying out their sense gratification. And as I said, the most rules are followed by the Brahmins. So that is where we actually get a more strict implementation of the what we call the four regulated principles that we follow. Whereas we'll not see that in the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas and the Sudras so much. They're much less. So that is one thing, that the Brahmins therefore have more restrictions. Now, Krishna Bharata was a Kshatriya, and therefore he was allowed more sense gratification. And of course, Paranjan also was Kshatriya, so he was allowed more sense gratification than the Brahmins. But we'll see that if you look closely at Manu, though these things are allowed, Manu also says a king is no longer a king if he's addicted to intoxications or hunting, etc. If he excessively does these things, then he takes advantage of those rules and he becomes too much attracted to them, then he loses his qualification. So though the provision is made for these types of sense gratification in the lower varnas, it doesn't mean they can do it all the time. It's only an occasional thing. They have to restrict. And of course, for the Kshatriyas, it's more than the Vaishyas or Sudras. And of course, for the Brahmins, more restrictions. So, in this way, the varnas are carried out. Now, how do the Vaishnavas relate with this? Of course, we know the Vaishnava is beyond varnas. He's superior to the Brahman. Therefore, the rules he follows should be even higher. So, whatever is allowed for the Brahman, whatever sense gratification, the Vaishnava should even have a higher standard than that. So, therefore, there's some strictness as far as Vaishnava is concerned, even more than the Brahmins. We'll see that the Brahmins, they do sacrifices. And they have Asamata sacrifices and Gomata sacrifices and whatever. And they also have animal sacrifices. But Vaishnavas, they strictly avoid that completely. No animal sacrifices at all. So we'll see that mentioned by all the Vaishnavacharyas. Madhvacharya, he said he forbade animal sacrifices, even as mentioned in the Vedas. No, we don't follow that. So, Vaishnavas, they have more restrictions. Of course, the Vaishnavas aren't too much, especially the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, are not interested in even doing sacrifices at all, because they're principally involved in chanting the name of Krishna. That is the sacrifice for Kali Yuga. So they don't even bother with these other types of rituals and sacrifices. Here we have the example of Paranjana going to the forest, and he actually didn't follow the rules too practically or very strictly, because he just killed indiscriminately with his sharp arrows without any mercy. Specifically, no mercy at all. So he did not discriminate what he killed. And it says Goratma, he was particularly cruel, or Gora, terrible. And he was Asuric. He took on Asuric qualities. So though the Kshatriya is allowed to kill, we see they have to kill in battle, etc. They should not have an Asuric quality to them, in spite of the fact that they do have to kill. So when they go uncontrolled, then this Rajasic, Tamasic qualities become more prominent and violence becomes uncontrolled. Therefore, the king will lose his qualification by unrestricted violence. That, of course, we'll see. We'll see that happening in societies. Kings become dictators, and then they become over-powerful and over-cruel and over-violent. And then eventually somebody has to overthrow them and kill them or assassinate them or whatever. Huh? Or, of course, they may get killed in battle or whatever. So we see in Krishna's time, there were all these asuras. They were all kings, like Jarasandha and Kamsa. They became, somehow or other, they managed by political means to become kings. But they were also asura. They were allowed to do so many things, but they overdid. And therefore they were condemned as asuras, and Krishna came to kill them all because they did not follow the proper dharma of the real kshatriya. They had no sense control. So they were, you know, and rajasic, true kshatriya has a balance of rajas and sattva. These kings were rajas and tamas. So therefore they lost their qualification, they were asuras. So the kshatriya has to be very, very careful that he doesn't go out of control because these propensities are there and these rules allow him some sense gratification. He has the danger of falling into tamaguna. And therefore, the training of a kshatriya is such that he also has to be very strictly trained with dharma and knowledge of scripture. That's his sattvic portion. And if he can't do that, then he's not really qualified as a kshatriya. So the sattvic portion of the kshatriya allows him that sense control. If that is not there and he's purely rajasic, then he's bound to become tamasic ultimately. So he loses his control. Yeah. Well, the means by which the devotees do this is engagement of the senses for Krishna. Yeah. But the other rule is, Krishna says, api chetsuracharo bhajati mamananyava, that even you break the principles, you're still my devotee. So the condemnation is not there that is there in the varnashramic system. If Brahma breaks the principles, he's finished. He must commit suicide or something. He's finished. He does atonements for so many lifetimes. It's not there for the Vaishnava. Krishna says that person, if he continues his bhakti very carefully, then the Lord forgives him. And the only atonement is bhakti itself. So therefore, even breaking the principles or breaking the rules is not so serious for the devotee as for the other persons, because the Lord is willing to forgive them for that.
You now mentioned this verse, that the devotee mentioned is someone who is in a very elevated position or poor.
If he was, then how would he fall?
But we can see Bhagavatam rising.
Yeah.
So he was up to the level of Bhava, but still failed to perform.
But he didn't fall in a gross way. He didn't break any principles of such. Of course, his problem was because of aparad, influence of previous aparad from some previous birth. But in terms of that verse, there is some qualification, because Krishna also says that person must continue his bhakti. If he gives up the bhakti after he does the simple activities, then he's not qualified. So he has to continue his bhakti. And if he repeatedly does simple activities, it may become offense to the holy name. Doing simple activities in the strength of the holy name also is not forgiven. That's not included in what Krishna says. So for repeated sin, or sin with the aparada involved, then Krishna doesn't really forgive those verses.
If someone
not
goes
If one becomes a Vaishnava, one is superior to a Brahmin. That's his principle. It's not that we become Brahmins, that we become Vaishnavas. Because we become Vaishnavas, we can do whatever a Brahmin, Vaishya, Kshatriya, or Sudra can do. But of course, the lower ones are, what's the point of having lower qualifications? So he's qualified for whatever a Brahmin can do because he is a Vaishnava. He was initiated Vaishnava, he's qualified for whatever the Brahmin can do. Though the Vaishnavas might not much interested in Brahmin culture as such, because that's all Varnashram, so he's not so interested in that. So when one gets so-called second initiation, that is getting Vaishnava mantra, that is the initiation. That qualifies him for anything a Brahmin can do. That's all. It's not that we're emphasizing becoming Brahminical. The Vaishnava surpasses the Brahmin. It's not that he becomes a Brahmin, then he's back in the gunas again. And then we're bound up in material nature. So we call it Brahminical initiation, but that's not very proper actually. That's a secondary result. He only did that because people argued the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are low class because they worship the deity. Yeah? But what is their qualification? Actually, Brahmins should be the worshippers of deities. The smartest would say that. Brahmins should worship the deities, not our Shalagram, not these Gaudiya Vaishnavas who may be any caste. So only Brahmins have the right. Of course, if you're a Brahmin Vaishnava, many of them were, then of course fine. But if you were a Sudra Vaishnava or a Malecha Vaishnava, then no, you shouldn't worship the deity. That was a challenge put up by Smartas. So he said, no, the Vaishnava is superior to the Brahmin. And therefore he gave our Brahmin to it also. He said, okay, so they're superior, therefore whatever the Brahmin does in terms of worship, he can also just give him a thread, whatever, an eye, that's all. But it's not that it's just something important for the Vaishnava to be a Brahmin. That it's only, those are modes of nature, that's all. The important thing is to be a Vaishnava, which is Nirguna.
Is it possible for
a
Vaishnava tradition to worship deities
without
the
practical industry? Yeah, if you're a Vaishnava, then you worship Vaishnava deities, you're qualified for that. And through that, you should have a Vaishnava mantra. Then you're qualified, you're superior to a Brahmin.
But in
case of time
before Krishna's
Thakur, Vaishnava
worship
Shalimar Bhakti,
but somebody who is a Shudra Vaishnava may not have an opportunity to know the
Vaishnava
mantra.
No, if he gets initiated, he wouldn't. So then he's qualified. But that they didn't, generally they did not give them Brahminical initiation. That was something Bhaktisiddhanta introduced, I think. There may be some others like Shamananda may have done, I've heard, I don't know, not. But it wasn't so common. But the same thing arose with Narottam Das Thakur, but he was from, I think, Kshatriya family. But he started initiating people. So people argued he should not be a guru because he's not a Brahmin. He's Kshatriya, not a Brahmin. So how can he initiate people and be a guru for, how can he be a guru for Brahmins? And he's a Kshatriya. You know, they would argue like this. Then that, of course, again, is not a good argument because Vaishnavas are superior to all Varnas.
When you were mentioned that the Kshatriyas are allowed to have some sense gratification, but if they are excessively attached to sense gratification, then that is wrong. Then how we can understand that, what level is excessive?
Well, if they become drunkards, addicted to gambling, addicted to hunting, and they unnecessarily kill. So if it's occasional, it's not a problem. If it becomes constant, then it's a problem.
Intoxication is also allowed.
Yeah. Even the Pandavas, or not the Pandavas, the Yadus, they all got drunk in Prabhas Chetra. They were drinking. It wasn't against the rules to drink.
Bhaktivinoda goes through all these teachers, he follows our Gaudiya Vaishnava, but in spite of that, he still maintains that gravity is and having what is the punishment for
him? Well, then he's still a materialist. He's still got material. He's considered to be a Pashandi or something like that. Pashandi.
Pashandi.
Or a smarta. The smartas are like that. They consider caste more important than anything else. Because the Brahminical, what they're talking about, Brahmins, is birth.
Yeah.
But we see corrupt Brahmins and whatever also, so birth is not always a good qualification either.
Nirantarasya Shishwamath Bhagavatam ki
Jaya
Nirantarasya Jaya 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 Jaya
Jaya
Thank you.